30,000 people entered La Paz on the morning of April 23rd after a two-week-long March for Life and Sovereignty. The marchers were not welcome in the capital. The police and the military violently intervened six times en route. Minister of Government Guillermo Fortun claimed that no march would reach the city, and when it did, the marchers were met with tear gas attacks that left two people dead, one of them an 89-year-old widow. The march numbered among its leaders Cochabamban water rights activist Oscar Oliveira, who was awarded a 2001 Goldman Environmental Prize the day he reached La Paz. But water rights isn't the only thing on the minds of Bolivian activists these days. Coca leaf growers are demanding modification of the stringent anti-drug law 1008, under which the Bolivian military, funded by the United States, enters peasant lands to destroy coca plants. The coca growers enjoy support from other social activists in a country where growing coca is often a poor farmer's best way of making money, and where some coca is grown legally for indigenous uses. The Bolivian Central Union, Bolivia's equivalent of the AFL-CIO, has a lengthy list of demands, including job stability, industrial safety norms for construction and factory workers, and no further privatization of government companies. The union has threatened a general strike. Urban public school teachers recently began a strike for higher pay. In late April, transportation workers and health workers staged 24-hour strikes. The health workers are opposed to the privatization of food and custodial services. They also oppose moving the administration of health care from the central government to municipal governments. The health workers say the municipal governments lack the funds and the experience to do the job. Debtors, facing 20% interest rates and a depressed economy, have protested in front of banks in La Paz and elsewhere. The Nationalist Revolutionary Movement, an opposition political party headed by a former Bolivian president, has called for the resignation of President Hugo Banzer, whose five-year term ends in August of 2002. Most dramatically, some 3,000 retirees, many of them ex-miners, are staging a hunger strike to protest the government's lack of compliance with an agreement that would raise pensions from a current average of $45 a month to approximately $120 a month. The modification is stalled in the Bolivian Congress. With various protest groups blockading the vital highway linking landlocked Bolivia to Chilean and Peruvian seaports, Roman Catholic bishops offered to mediate a dialogue. At first, the government claimed it would not negotiate over two of the protesters' major demands, modification of the anti-drug law and repeal of the 1985 structural adjustment law that began the process of privatization in Bolivia. But the Andean Information Network is now reporting that the government has signed an Act of Understanding with the Coca Growers' Federations, under which the growers will suspend road blockades in the Chapare region until May 21st, and the government will withdraw its security forces from the region. The Chapare Valley, formerly Bolivia's largest coca-growing region, has been heavily militarized under the anti-drug law. The network is also reporting that the government has agreed to address the anti-drug law, the structural adjustment law, laws regarding land tenure, and national water and forestry laws. The refusal of the protesters to back down in the face of government violence and the government's apparent new willingness to negotiate indicates that Bolivian activists are maintaining the momentum they acquired through their victory over Bechtel in Cochabamba last year. Professor Gabriel Erbas, a water rights activist who accepted the Goldman Environmental Prize in San Francisco on behalf of Oscar Oliveira, believes the people of Cochabamba set an example for anti-corporatization protesters around the world.
First of all, we want to say that what we've started in Cochabamba is just the beginning, and that together we're going to have to continue to struggle against an unjust economic system that perpetuates these injustices not just in Bolivia but all over the world, and it's the same struggle. But the good thing is that people are no longer quiescent, it's no longer a quiet world, people are beginning to speak up. We think that this is one of the most important things of our struggle in Cochabamba, that people have recovered their ability to speak out and what they're in favor of. We think that's the big lesson from Seattle, one of the lessons from Quebec, too.
Por lo tanto, creemos que algún momento vamos a triunfar.
So the message that we would send to activists in the United States and Canada is that we can have victories. We will have victories. It is a common struggle, and we'll have to work together.
I'm Kelly O'Ramaris for the Independent Media Center of San Francisco.